question. I am agnostic right now on evolution versus creationism. So basically, I'm just trying to hear your argument, if that's all right, and maybe push back a little bit and see where it goes. You okay with that?
That's fine for me.
I guess, well, so you think the entire Earth is 6,000 years old?
Well, like I said, I'm agnostic. I don't know. I'm not going to lie. Like, that's what I started off believing. But the more I look into it, the more I don't know. I basically, like, wiped away my beliefs. Not, like, Christianity, but, like, the fact that the Earth is young and started new. And that's where I'm at currently.
Oh, okay. Interesting. So
I've been doing research and looking into the evidence of evolution. I'm not going to lie. I probably have some biases just because, you know, whatever you learn in your younger ages definitely stick with you and can, you know, alter your perception. But I got an open mind and trying to learn. But I still feel like the evidence for evolution is rather weak. Oh, so I'm just...
Yeah, I disagree about that. I think we know evolution as strongly as we know the Earth orbits the sun.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not a flat earther, and I'm not trying to, you know, argue any of that. I don't really care. But yeah, what would you say are some of the strongest evidences then?
I would say genetics and the fossil record, but particularly genetics. So evolution predicted that all life on this planet is the descendant of an original life form. So the implication for that would be all life would have to be related. But more specifically, life on the planet would have to be, there would be, I call them hierarchies a lot of times, but there would have to be specific, predictable degrees of related, I have the hiccups, relatedness. Humans and the apes should be the most closely related. Well, we should be more closely related to them than anything else, and we are. And then we should be, if we zoom that out, we should be more closely related to mammals in general than any other form of animal life or any form of life, and we are. And we should share genes with everything on the planet, and we do.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, but couldn't that also be explained, like, think about computer code, right? Like, computer code has similarities in a lot of it, and then other code is more complex and, you know, longer versus other ones, and it basically just, they all use the same building blocks.
Yeah, but that's not...
explained that way.
The problem is that that's not an explanation. Because, I mean, God and creation aren't explanations because they aren't working theories because we have no idea how any of them work. But also, what evolution did was it predicted this, and it all came true. What creationists do is they wait until the evidence is discovered, and then they say, well, yeah, but our God could have done that. And it's like, it's just, if you commit yourself at first to believing anything except the science, then yeah, you can always retrofit an explanation onto something, but it isn't a real explanation because it doesn't actually explain how any of it got that way or why it is that way versus some other way. It's just a post hoc rationalization, not based on any evidence.
Fair point. I don't know that I agree with all of that, but I definitely think that's a fair point.
Well, if I said, couldn't it have been aliens that are just so technologically advanced that they would have the power to create life forms from scratch using basic building blocks? I'm not wrong, am I?
No, it's possible.
But it's not an actual explanation, and well, when you say it's possible, I agree that it's possible, but there's really nothing, we can't use that to weigh our options. We have God versus aliens, so which one of those is more likely, given that they both could have just done it in whatever way they did it? Neither one. So neither one is like a good explanation. It doesn't explain anything. Neither one is stronger than the other. Although I would actually argue the aliens one is probably stronger, but.
Do you, like, I heard you before say that, like, you don't know, but as far as, like, the Big Bang and singularity, do you believe that that means that there's a beginning, or?
I don't really have a take on it. Time might be cyclical, meaning it doesn't have any beginning. It could be the case that there is only one universe and there are multiple pockets of that universe that have their own point where the space-time expands, so time sort of begins. But that doesn't mean that, but there still was a universe before that happened. So it doesn't require invoking a creator for that. It doesn't mean that before the expansion of the universe and before time as a dimension of space began that there was nothing. So
you think, like, just to make sure I understand, like, it's possible that there was, let's call it a grander universe out there, and then within that universe there was some sort of Big Bang, which basically created a new pocket of a new universe, and basically from our perception we can only see within that universe. Is that basically what you're saying?
So I wouldn't call them different universes. What it is, there's an infinite universe, and then there are different, we call it multiverse, but within that infinite universe, there are just pockets, regions of it that are undergoing expansion. So you're in your observable universe, and the laws of physics just limit how far you can see in it. But there's no reason to think that if I instantly teleported to the edge of our observable universe, that I would look around and not still see more space-time all around me. But it could very well be the case that if I teleported to trillions and trillions of light years away, well outside the observable universe, that that universe would be different in certain respects.
Okay. I think I basically understand that. So as far as, is there a beginning, you're kind of, I don't know, maybe, maybe not.
Essentially, yeah.
Okay. Back to the genetic thing, like you said similarities. I do agree, like I think we're what, like 40% similar to a banana or something like that?
No, it's way, 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 way less than that. I write about that in my first book. That gets passed around from, somebody wrote an article where they misunderstood a study. What we found is of the proteins we happen to share with bananas, those proteins are on average 40% similar. But in terms of like actual genetics between us and bananas, it's like maybe 1%.
Okay. What about the genetics between us and whatever ape type is our closest relative? I've heard like bonobos or...
Yeah, it's like 98.6.
Okay. I heard there was a recent study that came out that lowers that number down to like 85 point something. Have you heard about that?
Yes, I know quite a lot about it. So what they did was... I don't remember the specific language they used for this, but what they did was, so DNA is made up of all these letters, right? Like, or well, it's made of nucleotides, but we represent them with letters, right? You've heard this before?
Yeah. A, C, G, T.
Yes, exactly. So let me try to show you something here on the computer. That needs to be zoomed in a lot more if we're going to have any hope. Okay. So we got all these letters, right? You can see them and they line up perfectly 1-to-1. Well, what you can do is, let's say I delete one of them. Well, if I, you know, if I deleted it, but if I put a space there, we can see that they still line up 100%. But it's also true that if I allow that deletion to sit there and I put all those nucleotides, we call this a frame shift. If I put them in the new spot, then it lines up like not at all. We basically have zero. There might be a couple spots where serendipitously they match up. Funny enough, there aren't any of those on here. That's funny. So you could say, you could look at this sequence and you could say that they line up, there's a 0% match, but that's really not very honest. I think we would agree that that's not super honest. So,
the language they used was telomere to telomere comparison, basically, from yes. my understanding.
Yes. So what that is they just take the entire sequence and they just lay it out with no, they don't account for any duplications, deletions, or insertions. So if you do that, then you can get the number lower to like 85%, but it's actually irrelevant because if you do that technique with human DNA and you compare it to the, what I don't know what you call it. There's like a, because we have a human genome, right? But it's like, it's it obviously doesn't match everybody's genome because everybody's different, right? So if you compare, if you do this new technique and you take a human and you compare a human to the baseline human genome we have, you only get a match of like 93%. Does anybody think it makes any sense to say that a human and a human are 93% genetically identical? No, it doesn't make any sense, right? The other reason it's irrelevant.
Like China and Canada and match those and you're getting like 93% is what you're saying.
Say that again.
So you're saying like basically you take someone from like China and Canada and then like do the same telomere to telomere and you're getting like 93% when like
you right probably now, could. Like that's not specifically how they did it because we have a human genome like I don't know what the hell to call it like a baseline or like a standard human genome. And I don't know how they made it. I don't know if they combined people all over the world to create or like exactly how they did it. All I know is when you compare any randomly selected human to the baseline, you get a really low number. The other reason it doesn't matter is, yes, the comparison between us and chimps goes down, but us and chimps are still, it's still the highest of like, that's still the highest match we have with anything else. The only thing genetically that would really have undermined or disproven evolution would be if the matches made no sense. If we were more closely related to butterflies than we are to chimps, then it would just be totally thrown out the window. But that's never happened. And these new studies don't do that either. Yeah, it drops us and chimps. But then if you compare like chimps and gorillas, they're not higher than us. They're lower than 85% still. I'm happy to announce that I can now offer signed copies of both of my books. This is because I've reopened my merch store where you can get your very own Spanky, t-shirt, and more. If you don't know, Rational Answers to Stupid Questions is a collection of responses to about 100 of the most common anti-scientific tropes. The book is meticulously detailed, it's been fact-checked by real scientists, and it's written in a clear and easy-to-understand way. Evolution, the Big Bang, creationism, flat earth, all of that plus more is in there. Facts That Aren't True is a collection of over 150 commonly held beliefs that are not true. Each claim has a story behind it. You'll learn the history behind the claim, the science that disproves it or partially supports it in some cases, and lots of side stories and tangents. Categories include the human body, history, religion, animals, nature, language, and a hodgepodge of miscellaneous facts that aren't true. So if you want to be equipped to handle the misinformation that you see me tackling here every day, get a copy of one or both of those books for yourself. Thank you.
Oh, what's your response to, so I'll say you win on that one, because that was actually a good point. I haven't looked into that. What would you say, like I've heard people make arguments of basically evolution is small genetic mutations over time that basically cause big differences. And basically they say in order for single cell organism to turn into a human would require X amount of genetic mutations. And they say genetic mutations happen at a current rate. And the rate that it would happen is basically not enough time for the amount of
right.
You're smiling. I think you know what I'm. The argument. What's your response on that?
From what I understand, when people make that argument, they do not at all take into account sexual reproduction. So sexual reproduction is a recombination. So you have the two parents and their genes get divided and then mixed in new ways. So the reason that children are different than, or the calling children's weird because this applies to like trees even. So the reason offspring are different than their parents is not because of mutations. Some mutations do happen, but it's because of recombination, the shuffling of genes. And recombination is it's many, 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 many orders of magnitude more, how do I say this? Like it produces variation orders of magnitude more efficiently than random mutations do. So they're just literally only taking a part of the formula and then saying, oh, well, it couldn't have happened using this, therefore it didn't happen. And it's just, they are not giving you the whole picture.
Yeah. I've never actually looked into the algorithm or formula that they use to like, you know, figure out that number. So I have no idea on that. I've just heard that and that seemed like a good argument, but again, I never actually looked into it. That'd be a good thing to look into.
Yeah.
What, as far as the fossils, what would you say, are some of the best ones? Cause I've looked at some of those and like, say the Lucy Astro Prolificus or whatever the hell that one is. I was looking at it and basically with her, they have like what the full jaw, the full lower pieces of the skull, some ribs and parts of arms, parts of legs, I think part of the hips as well. And then basically they're comparing it to other ones where they have like basically just a skull, but no real part, like a almost a complete skull, but no real parts of the body. But there's not like a compare, like there's not any of that species that, they have both, the skull and the body type.
That's not really true. So this is the original Lucy specimen. Now,
right.
What's cool about this?
Can you lower that a little bit? Because I can't see that. Oh, never mind. I'm looking at it wrong. I see it. Go ahead. Sorry.
What's cool about skeletons, like for most animals, especially us, is if you only have half the skeleton, you actually have the entire skeleton because our left and right sides are the same, right?
Right.
So yeah, I only have one femur and one side of the hip, but I know what the other side looks like. So it's more complete than what you have there in a real sense. Also, I didn't even realize this until not that long ago, but Lucy is not the only Australopithecus we have. We have somewhere close to 1,000 different Australopithecine specimens. Now, I don't know how complete the most complete one is, but if we have, I can put this back up here, I guess. Scientists, and there are multiple different species of Australopithecus, not just the one, I don't even know which one Lucy is, but there's Africanus, Afarensis, Robustus, and a few others. But paleontologists know, like, let's say this is all we have for Lucy, right? But let's say we find a different specimen and we have a couple of the same bones we have here, but then a whole bunch of new ones. So like, let's say we have the same femur, but then we have like a bunch of foot bones from a new one and a bunch of hand bones and maybe some new parts of the skull. Well, paleontologists are very good at doing this kind of thing. They can find what they do have as a match, and then what they can do is they can fill in the blanks with the new bones from the new specimen. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, and I actually was doing some research on that, and I could be wrong. Like, maybe I wasn't looking in the right spot, but what it seemed like to me was it seemed like Lucy was like one of the more fuller as far as for the body, but the head is lacking, like the remnants of the head.
Yeah, there's not a lot of parts of the skull, but we have tons and tons of other australopithecine specimens.
Right. So from what I was looking at is the other specimens have like almost complete skulls, but the ones that have complete skulls don't have much of like the way of the body, like very little to none from what I found. So, and then also I've read that there was like some disagreement as far as like the lower jawbone being one of the biggest factors to compare Lucy to like something with more of a complete skull. And they were saying like the angle of the jaw, the shape and size of the teeth can be like different and stuff like that. So like, basically my point is like, okay, so if you have barely any head and like basically most of the body, and then on another one that you're saying is the same species, you have most of the head, but not very much body or very little body. Like, how do you actually compare and say that they're the same? Because what you have of one, you don't have of the other. What you have, you know what I'm saying?
Well, there's, so it would come down to what overlap they do have, and then they would be able to match based on that. That would be the primary way.
Yeah. And that's what I was looking at. I didn't see much of an overlap. I kept trying to find like what species they did have. And again, like I'm not a scientist. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like a fantastic researcher or anything by any stretch of the means. So there very well might be something out there I didn't see, but like what I did look at, I didn't see enough to where it was like, okay, like, you know, they might have like one or two bones, which, you know, to me, isn't really enough. But again, I could be wrong on that. So that was one of the things that I was thinking was lacking in that is the fact of, you know, if you don't have the same parts to compare, how do you actually compare?
Yeah, again, they just, they
show that I'm wrong.
Sorry?
Can you point me in a direction for me to look to show that I'm wrong? Like, well, this website has a breakdown of like more, you know, complete renderings or not renderings, but like, you know,
off the top of my head, I don't know of any, but I mean, you just have to get fancy with your Googling, I guess, to find some, but
yeah, start using those quotation marks.
Yeah. But like I said, this is true with dinosaurs too. A lot of dinosaur species that we have aren't, we know what they look like, but not because we ever found one completely intact one, because we have a whole bunch of different ones and we've been able to put together what's lacking from one and what we have in the other to build what that species actually looked like.
Well, the dinosaurs actually bring up another point with soft tissue or whatever that they've not recently, they found it back in like early 2000s or whatever. How is that possible if they say, you know, it shouldn't last more than 1 million to 3 million years and it's 63 million years old? I've heard the argument of it depends on what it actually is fossilized in, like what type of material. Mm-hmm. Like certain types of material are more likely to preserve the, is it soft tissue or it's like blood
vessels? Yeah, there's iron particularly apparently has the ability to preserve some of these organic molecules. So we're not really finding soft tissue. We're finding remnants of soft tissue that once they're rehydrated, then they become flexible a little bit. But this argument doesn't work for creationists, because creationists don't believe that even the whole universe is even 10,000 years old. So when a creationist says that soft tissue can't last for 65 million years, well, the creationist isn't in a position to make that argument, because the creationist doesn't believe even the entire universe is even 10% that old. Or not even 1% that old. So they can't make the claim. They really can't. It sounds a little bit unfair, but it's not, because if you think the whole universe is that young, then you don't know at what point soft tissue starts to become totally non-viable or whatever. Now, for us on the secular side, we can only work with the information we have, and we've never seen soft tissue before. So it was scientifically reasonable to think that it can't last that long, you know? And then Mary Schweitzer found a couple of these examples, and that's really cool. And that's just new scientific information, and we love that. So it's the soft tissue thing is just such a, the creationist can't even use it as an argument. They really can't.
Okay. So basically science thought this, got new information. Now you got to update science.
Yeah, basically.
On something like that. Okay.
Yeah. That's but the most important part is they don't get to claim how long soft tissue lasts or that it can't last a million years or whatever when they think the entire universe is only 10,000 years old. So they can't make that claim because that much time hasn't even passed. So they can't rule it out.
And that's fair. I always thought the argument was secularists say that it can't. So we'll use your information and your information is wrong. Therefore, you're wrong was to my understanding what the argument was.
Yeah. And we thought that only because that's all we knew up until that point. Like if we, I don't know, this happens in archaeology sometimes, like, oh no, they're the first settlements or whatever on Earth were, yeah, like in the Fertile Crescent. And then all of a sudden it's like, well, we found Göbekli Tepe. It's like, okay, well, rewind the clock many thousands of years on that, apparently. So we only say that because that's how much we know at the time. So.
Yeah. Okay.
I think I'm going to try to move on to one of these other guys that's been waiting and crying a lot.
Yeah. Just one thing I wanted to say real quick and I'll dig off is I've been watching your live for a while. You're kind of a dick to some of the other guys. So it's just kind of cool to see that it must be because they're assholes. So you're matching their energy when, you know, I was respectful, you were respectful. So I appreciate the conversation. And it's not, you're a dick. It's, you know, probably pain in the ass deal with other people. So